It's Bucky and Aaron.
It's Les Miles.
A slimmed down Hollywood actor.
That guy's an actor. He's not just a coach.
Don't you forget it either.
That guy can act.
Major motion pictures recently.
And an ATV commercial, correct?
Yeah. And word was Les Miles was at the coaches convention down in San Antonio. And he had a film crew following him everywhere he went. That's true. That's true. He was like in this full clown suit. Not clown suit, but like a blue suit. And everywhere he went, he had a film crew with him. Les Miles.
I love it. BK thinks he's going to change the fortunes of Kansas.
That ain't true.
You're right about that. That ain't true.
That's right. Never too early for college football conversation. We'll talk some college football coming up in our Coach's Corner inside 100 days to the start of the season. And the payoff to B&E fact of the day, we asked, according to the tax numbers and the numbers that are out, which conference made the most money in fiscal year 2018. And then we mentioned it's not close, Buck, the Big Ten.
Oh, I would think so.
The Big Ten, with its 14 teams, didn't have a team in the college football playoff either the last two seasons. But how about this? The conference raked in $759 million in revenue in fiscal 2018, up 45%. We're pushing $1 billion here, Buck, on an annual basis. That they're up.
Great cash, homie.
They went from $512 million in 2017 to $759 million, meaning the 14 member institutions, 12 of them will take home a paycheck of a little over $54 million. $54
million for each. They get big crowds. They have big stadiums.
And the Big Ten Network has just been
a juggernaut. And the Big Ten Network, yeah.
Well, and that's you know, they have huge fan bases, right? They're all through the Midwest.
Yeah, the Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State.
Huge enrollment, state schools with long traditional fan bases like Ohio State, like Penn State, like Michigan.
Upgrading facilities at places like Purdue and Northwestern.
$54 million.
Yeah, even their bottom tiers are starting to upgrade at their facilities. So, I mean, Northwestern with Pat Fitz. I mean, things are changing all over the place.
When you're bringing in, you know, on top of what you raise as an athletic department, you're bringing in the conference is cutting you a check for $54 million a
you can
year.
You can do pretty well.
But then they can't share with the players.
But Texas still gets $15 million. Remember, they have their own network.
The Longhorn Network?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for the next 100 years.
Not 100. That's not accurate.
13 now. Years, yeah. 13 years or so left
but,
on that contract.
Big Ten Conference. The cash king. Clemson and Alabama are the on-the-field kings, but they are certainly the cash king. All right, so let's pick up your headlines. Then we'll dive into the coach's corner and then talk some college football, but first get you caught up on the news of the day. UBO Business Services brings you that news with PGA Championship on the brain is we've got second round action underway at Bethpage Blackbrooks. Koepka, of course, your clubhouse leader after a scintillating 63 yesterday, good for 7-under, bogey-free round. He is now 3 strokes up on the lead, the rest of the field. As Danny Lee, who is in second place, a stroke off the lead after last night and after round one, has already given back 2 strokes to the leaders. He's 2 over through 5 holes today, back to -4. Brooks Koepka, Tiger Woods, and Francesco Molinari will tee off just before 1 o'clock today, local time. Texas baseball, disappointing start to their must-win series for the Longhorns last night as they dropped the opener of their 3-game regular season-ending series with Oklahoma, 4-2 at UFCU Dish Falk Field. And, you know, all the reasons Texas' season is on the verge of an early end were on display last night. An error led to the Sooners' first run in the first inning, and then a leadoff walk led to the second run in the second inning. Then in the sixth inning, how about this, a walk followed by a balk, then a wild pitch, another walk, and Oklahoma was able to extend the lead to 4-0. Sooners, meanwhile, didn't commit an error on the night. Their starter Nathan Wiles didn't walk a batter over 8 solid frames. Texas did push across a pair of runs in the sixth, but that was it. Horns fall to 26-26 on the year, 6-15 in Big 12 play. Longhorns will play a doubleheader today due to the stormy forecast. They're going to, instead of playing into Saturday, Texas and OU will wrap up the 3-game series with a day-night doubleheader at UFCU Dish Falk Field. Game 1 set for 1 o'clock today, and then in what is likely the final game of the season for Texas, 6:30 tonight at Dish Falk Field. You hear the first game live on 101.9 and AM 1260. Game 2 will be live across all the signals here on the Horn. NBA playoffs, quite a game last night in Oakland. Western Conference Finals, Game 2. Steph Curry outdueled his little brother Seth as he poured in 37 points. Lead Golden State back from 15 down at half, and they hold on to beat Portland 114-111. They already have a 2-0 lead now in the Western Conference Finals. Seth Curry, his little brother, scored 16 points and put Portland ahead on a three-pointer with 103 to go. But the Dubs then pulled away. Steph Curry made a couple of free throws. Kevon Looney with an alley-oop dunk, and they get the victory. Seth said it was a lot of fun, like playing in the backyard with his little brother.
It was like back in Charlotte.
obviously, he's appreciative of the moment. They put him out there, and he made winning plays. So for us, this will probably be one we'll have the film clip at home, because this is a battle for sure.
Absolutely. Great scene last night there. Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals is tonight. Bucks and Raptors in Milwaukee. Baseball back to the Diamonds. Rangers wrapped up their series in Kansas City with a 16-1 beatdown of the Royals yesterday. Rangers belted five home runs, including two from Rougned Odor. They now head to St. Louis for a weekend series with the Cardinals. Astros took the night off. They'll take their seven-game win streak into Boston tonight. Fenway Park face the Red Sox in a marquee weekend series. Red Sox are hot as well. They've won 12 of 15. And speaking of hot, Dell Diamond last night, Round Rock rolled past Nashville 10-4. The Yordan Alvarez show continues. The young designated hitter. How about Alvarez last night in a 10-4 win? 3-for-5, two home runs and a double. He's now batting .410 on the season. Alvarez has 17 home runs for the season.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, before we hit football, you know, I heard on the award-winning show, the midday show with Trey and BK. And I wanted to mark the tape the other day, Wags, when before the series started. When Kevin Durant got hurt, Trey said he's probably not going to play again this year. And I'm starting to think towards that there's something going on with this dude that maybe it's more than you think, you know?
But
and I know it's only a week. I mean, is it really only a week since that? Is it, or
yeah,
more than a week?
Last week.
It was diagnosed prematurely, I think, as a hyperextended knee or...
It's a strain calf.
Calf. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was confused.
Okay.
Rodney Hood. But yeah, they don't need him, Buck.
Well,
like,
they can roll him out.
It's a return of the Splash Brothers. You still got three All-Stars on the floor.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm talking about the injury itself. Is it more than they say it is, or it's just taking that much time? And you said it's a, you know, we're talking about a two-week, maybe two-and-a-half-week injury, and it's only been a week. Maybe it all of a sudden just gets better, but... I remember Trey saying it at the time, like, is it the calf or is it the Achilles? That tendon's just not healing as quick as possible. But if it's a 2-week injury, we'll see.
I think it's a calf. I think it's just, you know, the situation. Oh, why fix it if it ain't broke?
If they get to the NBA Finals and they're facing the Bucks and it's been 2.5-3 weeks, then you can ask that question. But again, when it was diagnosed as a grade 1 calf strain, the doctor said that's usually a 2-week to 2.5-week injury. So we're not even we're a week from his injury. And, you know, he had a checkup yesterday, Kevin Durant, and they said he's, you know, he's still on track, but no, he's not near ready to play.
Right.
Which, you know, on a 2-week injury shouldn't be a surprise at this point. He won't travel to the road games at Portland in this series, now up 2-0. I do think they will need him to beat Milwaukee, personally.
I think so, too. I think they'll, you know, as you said, Portland will probably win the next game. And then if they go 2-2, that's going to get... towards maybe we need Durant back game 5, game 6, if he's ready to play.
Like, I think we'll see Milwaukee-Toronto tonight. I mean, Milwaukee won 60-plus games this year. They had the highest, you know, plus-minus as far as, you know, how much they outscored their opponents by. I mean, they're a really good basketball team. They're defensively sound. They've got a lot of guys that can beat you.
And they didn't play their best game the other night.
They didn't. Well, they missed all. I mean, they're a 3-point shooting team that's built around Giannis in the middle, and they didn't shoot well in game 1. But I think the Warriors... Bucks is a really good series, and they're going to need Durant in that one. They could still win it without him, but it would help to have Kevin Durant as a go-to guy. And as a fan, I mean, who doesn't want to see Durant and Giannis square? I mean, these are the two arguably best players in the league, couple of seven-footers who are so skilled and so talented.
For sure.
Ridiculous. I'd love to see those guys going head-to-head.
But how good is Steph Curry? That guy is he's amazing for his size for me in the NBA. And he hits the floor. He's played better defense this year. And he is the glue of that team since they've won the championship. When you start looking around and saying, who is it? How great is Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant is the best basketball player on their team, but he's not the most valuable player on their team.
Steph Curry scored 37 and continues to just be tremendous. And what a scene with his mom and dad watching. I mean, how cool is that?
How cool is his mom?
Well,
she's awesome. Yeah, I had some dreams last night.
You had dreams about...
A little bit. little bit dreams about mom.
Del Curry and, of course, Mama Curry, they were standing there, and they're cheering on every trip down the floor because one of their sons is doing something great almost every time down the floor, which was pretty cool. And they were going mano a mano. It was a neat scene. And I really felt like Portland was going to go ahead and get that win. When Seth hit the three to go up 111-110, I'm thinking, okay, But they just didn't close. Terry Stotts, the head coach, that's one you got to get right there if you're Portland.
You gotta, 17. You're up 17 in the third.
Yeah.
Can you milk the clock all the way down?
Well, you can't milk with Golden State.
Come on, man.
To me, it wasn't even about the – I mean, the third quarter was miserable. They got outscored 39-24, and the 15-point lead was gone. But if you watch the fourth quarter, they built another 8-point lead in the fourth. They stretched it back out and then let the Warriors come back, and they actually had the lead late. I mean, that was one of those
– Two from Lehigh is pretty good, too.
Even Steve Kerr said, look, we stole that game. We stole that game, and if you're a Portland fan, you gave that game away.
Experience won that game.
You had your chance. And, you know, we talk about in these major championships in golf that half the field is afraid to win it. One of the things you have to beat with Golden State is the mystique. One of the things you have to beat.
Right, the experience of them.
And the culture that they expect to win. And you have to beat, it's like playing the New England Patriots. I mean, yes, you have to beat Tom Brady, but you have to beat the expectation that and the way they hit the floor.
It's the Atlanta Falcons syndrome when it comes to that.
They expect to win those games, and it's almost like the opponent expects to lose and find a way to lose it. And some of the mystique stuff, you get caught in that. And we saw Houston do it in the last series, and certainly we saw Portland do that last night. I would also mention that Draymond Green was awesome last night. You know, his stat line of 16 points, 10 boards, 7 assists doesn't do it justice. When they were in that comeback, and then when Portland stretched it back out to 8, the key was Draymond.
Yeah, his hands were everywhere.
I mean, 5 block shots, steals, leading the break, alley-oop dunks to Kevon Looney.
Mm-hmm.
He was tremendous. I mean, he was tremendous.
And Clay, really, man. When Clay can play some defense, too.
Well, they're tough, man. All right, so let's dive into your coach's corner, 7:15.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
This segment brought to you by LowCostT.com. Testosterone replacement therapy from a local doctor for less than $130 per month. Visit LowCostT.com.
Says the Knicks told Golden State not to play Kevin Durant. Like, I think we'll, I don't know if we'll see Durant or not. I don't. But again, when the story was told right after the diagnosis, they said this could stretch into the NBA Finals.
Yes.
Well, which would eliminate him from the Western Finals. So there's no breaking news yet.
Told him not to play him.
Well, that's where people think he's headed. And you guess what? Steph Curry is saying, hold my beer. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
We're good over here.
Bye, Kevin.
I haven't lost since you got hurt, my friend. We've taken
amazing.
Take care of Houston that night and turned around and beat Houston in Game 6. And now here we are already up 2-0 in the Western Finals. All right, a little football talk, Buck, and football chatter. We mentioned the Big Ten. Somebody texted and said, does Maryland share the same amount of money as the rest of the Big Ten? No, they do not. We mentioned that the cash that the Big Ten ranked in, $759 million. 12 of the 14 schools share the $54 million. Rutgers and Maryland receive a smaller share. They're still in the transition phase.
Oh, they're not quite with the big boys yet?
They haven't joined the family dinner table yet. They're still at the kids' table.
But Northwestern and that group, Purdue, they get that money, right?
Wait, you see Maryland, what's going on at that school? Like, they had the horrible situation with the kid that died. The coaching staff is out of control. They're running jet sweeps and beating Texas. But there's now a new controversy in Maryland there was a virus that was going around campus that a bunch of kids got sick.
The measles?
And it took like 3 weeks. It took like 3 weeks for the school to alert the student body, like 18 days or something.
My son wanted out of that place.
No, it's not herpes. It wasn't the herpes virus there, Wags. It was something a little different. I don't know. It's like a flu-like virus that was spreading, like a, what do they call it, a rhinovirus or a...
Beautiful campus.
Yeah, well...
Nice area.
Hey, Maryland, it's the only thing beautiful about it.
Get your stuff together. Good night. But, all right, college football, Buck, we are inside 100 days. Did you see yesterday where, you know, we told you Texas and LSU are the primetime game, 6:30?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what the 2:30 game is on ABC? Texas A&M at Clemson.
Oh. What a day.
Yes. Texas A&M at Clemson September 7th. It'll be followed up by Texas and LSU in primetime from DKR. That's a pretty good September 7th.
Wait a minute. What does that mean for game day? Romo.
I think they'll be here. I don't know. What does it mean for game day?
Not so fast.
I don't know. Clemson, defending national champs, the Aggies. Where
Jimbo.
Where it was lit, but not anymore.
It's lit.
Well, they very well could be at Clemson as well with Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, do we forget that?
That's going to piss off some fan bases right there.
Inside 100 days to the season, you know, the first game is Florida and Miami on the 24th of August. My game is in Orlando. Other big non-conference games, first weekend, Buck, Auburn and Oregon. Does that do anything for you? That's the game.
It's all right. Yeah, it's a good game.
That's the game at Jerry World.
We'll find out how bad the Pac-12 is again early.
And how about Houston at Oklahoma that first weekend? U of H.
That doesn't do anything for them.
No.
That doesn't
first
do
time we'll get to
them.
See Jalen Hurts. And to me, you know, you talk about big storylines for college football in 2019. You know, it starts for me with Clemson and Trevor Lawrence coming in as a sophomore. We don't forget that they didn't just beat Alabama for the national title. They beat the hell out of Alabama for the national title, 44-16. Now, they lose most of their defense. Their entire defensive line is gone.
See ya!
Yeah, but they got a barbershop and a slide. I expect them to be good.
Well, they're at the top of the mountain until someone beats them at this point. Alabama, of course, they're coming back and with Tua. How about the Urban Meyer storyline in Ohio State? You know, he's gone. Buckeyes, is the Big Ten now open? Because Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes have dominated the Big Ten.
No, they still dominate recruiting. They
well,
do.
Is it Jim Harbaugh's time?
No.
Jim Harbaugh's time to shine
no.
at Michigan? Or maybe your guy James Franklin at Penn State? What is this,
he
Ryan?
Can't win the big one.
I'm just sorry we're in this situation.
Are you more in line to believe that Ryan Day is in the Lincoln Riley mold, or is he ready for this job?
I'm in the mold of he's got great recruiting, and they still can recruit at Ohio State, and they have great players. And they continue to get great players every year. And James Franklin can't win the big game, and Jim Harbaugh can't win a big game. You know, Ohio State just has better players.
Well, you
right
could
now.
Argue, yeah, they both have, you know, Ohio State's got great players, but
the best coach, I think, in that conference is still Fitz for what he does at Northwestern.
But the guy who's dominated the conference is not there anymore. Urban Meyer is gone. And it's Jim Harbaugh that couldn't beat Urban Meyer. James Franklin couldn't beat Urban Meyer. Can they beat Ryan Day?
I don't think so. Not this year. I think they're still pretty good.
You've never even seen Ryan Day. We don't even know.
Didn't he coach when Urban Meyer was gone?
Yeah, well,
Yes. Weren't they pretty good? They stayed.
We'll see. Well, come on, Urban Meyer was still around that program. You don't think he was? I mean, he was there week to week.
They got great players. See, they're going to have great players.
It's still a conversation that can this guy coach to that level? What is he? Is he more Lincoln Riley, or is this job too big for a guy who's never been a head coach?
Okay, then what makes you think Harbaugh is something very special? He hasn't done anything very special yet. Correct? How many years is this for? What year will this be for him? Three or four?
Year five.
Right? Year five?
But look, Jim Harbaugh.
Charlie Strong?
Well, I have
not
seen.
Two,
let me say this.
Three,
I have
four.
Seen Jim Harbaugh build programs at Stanford. I have seen him taking the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. He hasn't got it done yet at Michigan, but I'm arguing or putting the question out there is was the reason for Jim Harbaugh was it Urban Meyer? That Urban Meyer just. I mean, it was just the kryptonite for Michigan. They've beaten a lot of other teams, and they just couldn't get over the Ohio State hump. I wonder how much of a slide, if any, Ohio State takes. When you go from Urban Meyer, who's one of the best coaches in the history of college football, whatever you think of his off-field behavior, he's one of the best game day coaches, one of the best game planners. I mean, his history at Florida, Utah, and Ohio State. I don't know what Ryan Day is.
What would you think of Jim Harbaugh if you didn't have the history of Stanford right now, and he was just at Michigan? He was a Michigan man, and his record was. Would they have fired him by now?
I don't think you fire him. I think
5 years.
I mean, look, he's winless against Urban Meyer, but he's built a pretty good program there, and that's why I wonder: is it time for Michigan to step forward? And I will go to the odds. Vegas says the odds favorites to win the national title as we sit here inside 100 days: Clemson at 2-1, Alabama's 5-2, Georgia's 7-1, Ohio State 12-1, Michigan 14-1.
What is Texas?
25-1.
Boy, that's a great bet. That is a great bet. If you win the Big 12, you're going to that deal. So if you have one loss, you're going to that deal.
Well, there's kind of three tiers, according to Vegas, as far as odds to win. Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia are your favorites, right, if you're just going Vegas odds. And then there's the Ohio State, Oklahoma, Michigan tier. And then there's Texas. And then there's everybody else, Florida, LSU, Notre Dame, Oregon, Washington, Auburn, down the list. The question is, you know, Texas last year went 10-4. They beat Georgia. In the Sugar Bowl.
Mm-hmm. They smashed them. They punked them.
They went 1-1 against Oklahoma. So they beat the Sooners. So they beat two of those teams that are higher odds than them. And they believe, I think Texas fans and Texas coaches believe they're about to take a step forward, especially offensively.
Oh, I don't doubt that. I believe they can, you know, and it's not that they have to be tremendous. It just can be an off year for OU. I mean, it just can be. You know what I'm saying? Getting used to this quarterback is Jalen Hurts. How really, really good is he? He was good at Alabama, what they did. He had a great surrounding cast there. Does he have a supporting cast where he is right now? Is Lincoln Riley just a flat-out genius? I mean, is the dude just a genius in what he does? Or is it University of Texas and Tom Herman's time now? With a three-year court, with a guy going in his third year as the guy, you know?
Yeah, well, I should have mentioned LSU. LSU and Auburn are both at 20-1 right there in that tier with Texas.
I don't know what it is that I don't believe in LSU quite yet. Maybe it's the coach.
Well, Joe Burrow was the Ohio State transfer. He played really well last year for them, and now he's got another year in that system. He was one. I mean, how many quarterbacks have transferred out of Ohio State?
And for LSU, to me, it's just I think they're going to run when they should be passing for some odd reason. You know what I'm saying? They're going to try to run. They're going to try to establish such a hardcore game. Just seems that way at LSU. Until they start opening it up four wides and let's go with the great athletes at wide receiver, they believe in their offense and defensive lines. And they've been good. They've been great NFL players. But it's still – the guy that gets them fired is, like you said, it's Nick Saban that always gets them all fired.
Well, and Clemson, as this text says, game day likely to Clemson, the toughest game of their schedule. I mean, Clemson, again, has a favorable schedule. That's the other issue. That's why they're 2-1 to win the national title, at least get back to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Aggies – early, it's one of their maybe their toughest game. We'll run through some of it, but that's where we sit. We're inside 100 days to that first game of the year, Florida and Miami.
Do you believe in this Longhorn team could possibly slide into there if they can if they take care of their business?
For me, the ceiling for this Texas team is their front seven on defense. That's the huge question mark. Mm-hmm. I believe in their offense. I think the offense is going to take another step forward behind Sam Ehlinger and more weapons and an improved offensive line.
They're going to be hard to stop then offensively.
I believe that. And then the secondary, you know, could be unrivaled in the Big 12 as far as athletes and at the corner and safety positions. The question's, you know, replacing the front seven. And if those guys come in and play like they did against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl and they find some linebacker play, Texas is going to be all right. Texas will be just fine.
I think that win in the Sugar Bowl is so huge. You're talking about confidence.
No.
If I'm a player on this Texas team and what you did to a Georgia team that everybody can say what they want about, they weren't ready. They were disappointed. Well, too bad.
Well, Georgia,
they got their ass kicked in that game.
Georgia had Alabama beat the weekend before, in the final week of the championship weekend.
Sometimes you don't come back from those kind of losses, you know what I'm saying?
That's right. All right, so we'll take your thoughts, a little college football primer on a Friday, inside 100 days now to the start of the college football season. We'll pick back up the top stories on the other side, including the big baseball series this weekend. The Longhorns, is it over?
Yeah, you don't really have to talk about it. They're done. There is a nail in it already, right?
And the basketball playoffs. We'll get to all of it. It's B&E with you on a Friday on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. Remember, today, doubleheader of Texas baseball. If you had tickets for Saturday's game, it's going to be tonight, or I guess this would be the Friday night game on Game 2, 1 o'clock today over at UFCU Dish Falk Field. You'll hear that game on 101.9 FM and AM 1260 as we will continue with our normal midday programming here on 104.9. It'll also be streaming on the Texas on our Horn app through the Texas Sports click through, and you can hear it there with Texas baseball. After last night's 4-2 loss, though, not a lot to play for the Longhorns. You know, there's still the idea if you sweep this doubleheader today, you know, and Kansas were to sweep Kansas State, you could still get in, and that series is in Lawrence, where the Jayhawks will host the in-state rivals there. But dropping last night was killer because you knew if you could sweep the Sooners, you would control your destiny. But, you know, having been at the game last night, it's pretty clear. Better team won the game. Skip Johnson's team, much more fundamentally sound. Their pitcher, Nathan Wiles, was tremendous. The right-hander, he didn't walk a batter. Really controlled the Longhorns. Longhorns got to him a little bit in the sixth inning, put a couple runs across. Zach Zubia drove in a run, but that was it. The Longhorns mounted little resistance, and on their own side of it, the Longhorns continued to be a sloppy baseball team. That's what's led to a 500 season and a miserable Big 12 year. You know, more walks, five more walks, two more errors, and the errors led to runs. The walks led to runs. They gave away their four runs. I mean, the first inning was a leadoff error that led to a score. The second inning was a leadoff walk that led to a 2-0 lead, and then, as we mentioned in the headlines, the sixth inning when they extended the lead to 4-0, which, if you were at the game, it just seemed insurmountable at that point. The Longhorns let Oklahoma score two more runs with a walk to start the inning, and leadoff walks are killers anyhow, then a balk, then a wild pitch, then another walk, and Oklahoma all of a sudden's up 4-0.
I don't think there was anybody in this city thought that team would win three games in a row.
Yeah, there was hope, and unfortunately, and you know, we had David Pierce on the show Wednesday, and they against Incarnate Word on Tuesday, he said they played their best game in a month. And they were clean. They didn't, and you know, it's Incarnate Word. But Oklahoma, Skip Johnson's team was ready to play last night. They're a team that's looking to play well into the tournament. Texas is not heading there. So 1 o'clock today, 6:30 tonight, day night doubleheader.
What are they going to have to do? Just have players that need to grow up and go play summer ball in different leagues and things like that. They have to come back ready to play. I mean, you don't get to I know you get to recruit. You're going to bring in some new guys, but guess what? They're going to be young too, with a young team. They just have to get better at the fundamentals of the game, because it at the end it was all about fundamentals.
That's what it's been.
I mean, pitching and fielding and the fundamentals. Period. Man. This is a team that still could bat. Right? Later in the season. They got worse.
I mean, again, to lean on the David Hamilton injury and the DJ Petrinsky injury, but that's what they are. I mean, they're two best players hurt for the year either way.
But there's no excuse for them to play as lousy as they play.
I mean, the sloppiness is not okay. But here's what you know about David Pierce and Phil Hague, the pitching coach. They're not coaching them to go lead off, walk batters to start innings, but they do this all the time. They lead off walks, just and then two out walks is another thing they've been horrible with this year. You know, the seniors on this team, Ryan Reynolds will graduate and we'll move on. You know, the question will be David Hamilton for next year, because, you know, he's likely to be drafted in June in the MLB draft, coming off his Achilles, but you're not sure how high, and you're not sure what David Hamilton's road is going to be. Does he want to come back and play his senior year at Texas and see if he can improve his draft stock, or would he want to just go wherever he's drafted and work his way as a professional?
I don't know. For some reason, I would think of coming back in his instance. You know what I'm saying? And
possible. I mean, you know, it really is where he wants to.
Well, first of all, you got to believe in the guy that's coaching. Do you believe enough in the guy that's coaching? Are they going to get you better? Will these coaches, just like any other sport at Texas, do these coaches have the ability to have you get better? Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
And he'll have to think about that. Is this group good enough to make him a better baseball player, or is he better off getting drafted and going and becoming a professional? You know?
That's what a lot of these guys will have to decide, but that's not a good baseball team right now, but two games today will end the season for the Longhorns. Now, look, if you win both games today, then you sit back and see if Kansas can do you a favor and win three games against K-State, but, you know, at that point, you're completely out of control of the situation, and, you know, well, all you can do today is...
Well, let me just ask you this. Even if that happens, if you lose one more, you're still done?
Well, if they lose one of these days, it's over.
Okay.
I mean, their only ways in were to sweep Oklahoma, which would have guaranteed them a spot in the Big 12 tournament. By losing last night, now all they can do is win these two, and they have to have.
But lose this, it's done. Yes, no matter what happens
over,
in the other game,
and you could win both games today and still not make it,
because
if K-State simply takes one game in the Kansas series, you're done, and that's the spot the Longhorns.
And Kansas is a team that's already in, right? Correct. They're okay. I mean, this is a rivalry game between those two, but Kansas isn't.
Well, Kansas is right in front of Texas. They would be the 8th seed right now.
So they're playing
or Kansas State would, one of those two. I'll look
Kansas
at
State, big, I think, is.
Yeah, well, they're both at the bottom end of the Big 12.
Right.
So we'll see. They're just, you know.
For Kansas, they're going to be in, I think, And Kansas State is the one who's fighting for their lives, too.
Yes.
I think that's right. Okay.
Well, look, if Texas loses today one game, no one's got to worry because they're all in.
No.
Because Texas is the team out. But, yeah, this says Ryan Reynolds is a junior. Yeah, okay, Ryan Reynolds is a junior. There's one thing I will say. This is one of the youngest teams. It's not the youngest team in the Big 12, and they're running out a lot of young players, freshmen, sophomores, the core of the team. And if David Hamilton were to come back next year, you would have the makings of a pretty good team. And DJ Petrinsky could actually come back next year as a redshirt, because he can get a medical for this year if he wants. And I don't know, coming off an elbow, you know, what his draft stock will be.
It's true.
And so it is possible that you could come back next year with a core built around a healthy David Hamilton, DJ Petrinsky, Ryan Reynolds, the core of your team. But, Bryce Elder's just a sophomore, so you've got years with him. The pitching staff is very, very young. So, you know, better years to come, but it can't get much worse than this.
Fields is a young guy?
Yes, this is one of the worst years. This is one of the worst years in the history of Texas baseball, quite honestly. You know, they're 6-15 in Big 12 play.
And that's what I said. So if guys that are going to get drafted, whether they get drafted late or not, they're going to want to know, can this coaching staff make them better? Or are they better off leaving? And that's kind of the baseball way, isn't it?
Well, correct. But I do think David Pierce and his staff have shown the ability to develop players.
You what how the guys would probably think.
I know. But I don't know the answer to each and every person. No one could. But they do have the potential to be a good baseball team next year, because they have a lot of guys coming back that played a lot of baseball this year, but there are no guarantees. So those games today, we've got big baseball this weekend. High school baseball playoffs continue. Astros and Red Sox this weekend. Cardinals and Rangers up in Arlington. A lot of fun hardball this weekend. And heck, the Big 12 will be decided this weekend as far as who's going to win the regular season championship. And that's going to come down to the wire with Baylor and Texas Tech battling it out at the top of the Big 12. NBA playoffs last night. Warriors come back from 15 down. Steph Curry, tremendous. Draymond Green, tremendous. They have a 2-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals. This series all but over at that point. You got to beat that team 4 out of 5 times even without Kevin Durant, don't think that's happening.
Yeah, we said that with the Houston team too. We said you got to beat them that many times now. It didn't happen. I don't know if it'll happen here. Houston's a better team than Portland is, I think.
Yeah, I think Houston would have won a series with the Portland Trailblazers.
Right.
I do believe that. I think Houston was the second best team in the West. You know, but again, this year's Houston team never played as good as last year's Houston team, and that you know, their ceiling was not as high because Clint Capella and Chris Paul did not play well. And James Harden disappeared in the fourth quarters of both games 5 and 6, where you know he put up big numbers, but where was he in the last 5 minutes of those games that they got closed out in? You know, so your big three's not performing in the biggest moments, you're not going to win those games.
But we got a series if they can go back to Portland and Portland wins too. But if they only get 1 or 2,
yeah, that's
and it's 3-1, that's not going to be good.
You wonder what kind of series we'll get in the East because Raptors and Bucks tonight. I hope people are tuning this in. You know, it's Friday night. People are going to be having their plans, watching baseball and doing other things. But Giannis against Kawhi is pretty damn good. Pretty damn good television. And this Bucks team, there's Kawhi. No, don't laugh at me. It really is. It's good basketball. PGA Tour leaderboard, how about this? Oh, my gosh. Brooks Koepka now has a 5 or 4-stroke lead on the field.
What happened to Danny Lee?
Danny Lee has fallen apart. Danny Lee, who
plus
is
four today?
He is 4 over for his round today. He's all the way back to -2 for the championship. He is struggling. But look who's here. Jordan Spieth.
There you go.
1 under through 2 holes today. He is to 2 under, which puts him in the pack just outside of second place. Tommy Fleetwood is alone in second place right now. He won't tee off till lunchtime. Brooks Koepka will tee off just before noon.
Get your low scores in this morning. That's the way to get it done here.
And if you're Jordan Spieth, that's what you have to be thinking, right? The word is the wind's going to kick up this afternoon and really make it difficult to hit these fairways, and the rough is a mess there at Bethpage. So take advantage of the morning draw where Spieth played okay yesterday, got himself to 1 under, and he's already to 2 under now for the tournament. He could be a guy that puts himself into a position on the weekend to strike. And that's your hope, right? If you're Jordan, you go out and put a nice number on the board, and then hope that Koepka goes out and struggles a little bit and gives a few back, and all of a sudden it's anybody's tournament. But if Koepka goes out and shoots 65, 66 today, which he is capable of, this thing will be over.
Well,
this will be like Tiger Woods back in the day.
You know what's really crazy about Bethpage Black is the fact that, you know, you'd think it's going to be crazy and loud there. The fans are quite a way away from the players. It's not like the Masters. The Masters, you're right. I know it's crowded there, but you're right up on these guys. These guys, the fans seem to be at certain holes, because it's so long, and the course is so, you know, it's filled with rough and trees and all that kind of stuff. They don't seem to be as close to the players as places like, the Masters, Augusta.
Yeah, well,
and the greens are big.
It's a long golf course, but the crowds, the galleries at the tee boxes are pretty big. When those guys are teeing off, that's where you're going to hear most of the chatter. But it hardly mattered yesterday for Brooks Koepka. I mean, he was ridiculous. I mean, so good. He didn't barter either of the 2 par 5s. That could have been a 61 or 62 yesterday in a major championship on a tough golf course. He hardly hit a bad shot. He was just stiff the whole day. Tremendous. He was outstanding.
That's what she said. I'd like to go play there on a Sunday for $75.
You should.
That's what she said.
And I'll play from the white tees. I won't go to the reds.
You should be at the reds. You don't want any part of the blacks.
No, don't go back
there.
That's
what she said.
All right, we'll come back. When we do, it'll be Hot or Not with Wags leading us through that on a Friday. We'll get you the updates on the PGA Championship, but Wags hits the stories maybe we missed on this Friday, including it being National or Austin Take Your Bike to Work Day.
Yeah.
Put the car away. It is Bike to Work Day in the city of Austin. Be careful out there if you're pedaling or chasing someone that's pedaling. Be safe. It's B&E on a Friday.
What's hot? And what's not?
Hallstatt Beer, the premium German beer brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country, Fredericksburg, Texas. Ask for Hallstatt wherever you buy beer. No impurities, no regrets. It's Hallstatt Beer.
B&A, it is Hot or Not time. Great weekend on tap. You've got the final episode of Game of Thrones with people not happy with the way the final season has gone. A lot of people signing a petition. They want HBO to go back and make it again. With better writers. They don't like it. They're not hot on the final season, but the final episode coming up. Also have a red-hot series at Fenway Park, Buck. Red-hot Astros against the Red Sox. And get out to the Dell Diamond and see this kid, Yordan Alvarez, who after last night now batting .410. .410, but slugging the ball. He's got a slugging percentage of .903. His OPS is .14. .1400. Are you kidding? Yordan Alvarez, 21 years old. Dell Diamond this weekend. It'll be a Bud Light Fireworks Friday tonight. And then tomorrow, Buck, you've got the game and then Bob Schneider. So not bad at Dell Diamond this weekend.
Good weekend.
If the Longhorn season, it does indeed come to an end today and tonight as they play a doubleheader with Oklahoma. Not hot is the weather, be advised. That's one of the reasons, the reason they're playing a doubleheader today. Heavy, heavy storms coming through lunchtime tomorrow into the afternoon with some hail and strong winds. One of those spring thunderstorms heading our way. It'll start a little bit of rain tonight, but looking good today, though. And you look like you're dressed for some golf.
I am. I'm ready. I'm trying to get this in because, you know, I don't play golf on the weekends. You very seldom see me ever on weekends play because of the influx of women and on the weekends.
Influx of what? Like you?
Influx of mothers of children.
Like most people who work all week that actually can't play golf during the week, they go play golf on the weekends.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, because they actually have jobs and things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Those, the influx of those people?
Yeah, those dudes that bring their women to play golf. Yeah. On the weekends. And older people that play on the weekends.
Yes, I would agree. It's more crowded on the weekends.
It is, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Why play then with those people out there? I don't like to play on weekend
people.
With those people.
Adam Wagner.
Although some of those people are, some of those people, E, are faster than some of the people I do play with, by the way. Women do play fast.
Yeah.
They understand the game. They understand that
they move.
They're not trying to make 12s and like dudes are who are plumb bobbing and getting on one knee and laying down to see where the putt goes and then picking up after 9. Hey, nice 9. Pick it up, dude. Move on. Well, women get frustrated after about 3 swings and they put it in their pocket and go. I like that.
Well, I'm sure it'll be a little bit crowded today for your golf adventure.
Yeah, because Friday. They know what's a coming on Saturday.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Wags, what do you have, my friend?
All right, gentlemen, you guys teased it a little bit. The Red Sox hosting the Astros. Two teams really hot. Red Sox 8-2 in their last 10. The Astros 9-1 in their last 10. Gerrit Cole in the bump. Rick Porcello. Guys, hot or not, can the Astros ease Astros, get the sweep, and stop the surging Red Sox?
I don't know about the sweep.
I'm hoping for a sweep.
I don't know about a sweep either, but if the Astros, the way they're mashing the ball in May, it's ridiculous. If you look at their numbers in the month of May, we're now 17 days in.
Would you like the over in those games, though? Numbers? Points?
Over right now, it's 9.5.
Look,
for the game tonight.
Look, Gerrit Cole is, you know, his record doesn't indicate as well as he's pitched. He's had a couple of rough outings, but he's actually, the last couple have been lights out. You know, he's got the stuff. Porcello's the one that, this is where the Astros could get a hold of a struggling pitcher in that spot tonight. Really excited about this series. And you know, remember, the Astros are doing this run in May without Jose Altuve. He's down with a hamstring. So, you know, this the lineup, they've just plugged Aledmys Diaz in at second base, and he's been tremendous. Alex Bregman, obviously George Springer hitting the cover off the ball. Michael Brantley's been tremendous. So, but again, the Red Sox have found themselves, and this will be, this is one of those, you know, it's early, but they're going to play their 6 games here in the next 10 days with the Red Sox. So most expect this could be a postseason October matchup. So it'll be fun to see how they stack up this year. And I don't know, I wouldn't call a sweep, but I do think the Astros can win the series. You better get tonight and possibly tomorrow, because on Sunday you're facing Chris Sale. Mm-hmm. You know, you just use Verlander. So you got Cole tonight, who's your 2, and you got Wade Miley. And then Sunday you're going to send your rookie, Corbin Martin, the young kid out of Houston that went to Texas A&M. He's going to face Chris Sale on Sunday. That's a big spot at Fenway Park.
Nothing's guaranteed. Sale coming off 17 strikeouts, still no win there.
Yeah, but he's still high. His pitches are still high. I mean, who are the scrubs they play with the 17 strikeouts?
Rockies.
Okay.
Well, Colorado's not a scrub team, but yeah. But
and he got away with a lot of high pitches. I don't think you get away with the Astros if you're putting that ball up top like that.
Fun series. Fun
Renato
series.
Made him pay.
What else, Wags?
All right, we got the Raptors going to see the Bucks again, trying to make something even here, trying to at least steal one, right? Kawhi and friends. But he's going up against Giannis Antetokounmpo and company. Guys, do you think Kawhi can actually take his captain candidates there north of the border into Milwaukee and get a win here?
You know, Milwaukee didn't play their best game the other night. And if they get hot in the threes, they can cakewalk this game. But and I don't know. I don't know where Kawhi's head is right now. Is he tired or whatever? He didn't get off the ground very well in the fourth quarter. He was tired in that first game, but it's a must win for them.
No, I mean, this is the same spot that the Blazers were in last night, and they couldn't close it. I mean, that's the big deal. And the Bucks, I mean, the Raptors feel like they should have had game one if they'd have got something out of Kawhi.
Yeah,
they could
in the fourth. Yes,
we'll see. By the way, we're in before the Texans go after Wags. Milwaukee is south of the border, not north of the border.
Toronto, north of the border.
But they're playing in Milwaukee tonight.
Yeah, they're in Milwaukee.
Didn't I say candidates north of the border down south? I thought I did.
I didn't understand what you said.
I didn't understand it all. Why aren't you
neither does my wife.
We're a geography. This is not a geography show anyway, Wags.
Trying to show my IQ here.
No, it's good
you are.
National Pizza Party Day also, gentlemen, besides National Bike to Work Day. Guys, how come we're not having a pizza party?
Here? Pizza party?
I don't know. You guys big on pizza parties?
Yes.
The last time I went to a pizza party was probably Chuck E. Cheese for the kids.
Jesus.
And that's one of the, I'm not going to say it's a nasty, filthy place. But it has tendency in those little plastic balls and all that stuff. And you know, the little band that plays.
Chuck E. Cheese has been in the news recently for putting their pizza back.
What do you mean? When people
what
don't.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So the pizzas, the slices that don't get eaten or consumed.
Yeah.
They take it back behind the kitchen.
And reheat it?
No, they don't just reheat it. They put it together in another pizza that hasn't they
fake
they,
news
no it's not I swear
come on man
so they collect all the uneaten slices of pizza and they make a whole
oh
pizza and
my
try to
God.
Reserve it. I'm not even lying
like the people have already put on their plate
yep
no
I'm serious not the I mean obviously not the ones with bites in them or anything like that
yeah but. Just whole pieces that just sit sometime
yeah why just throw it away yeah because people yeah, touch it
don't waste pizza yeah good job Chuck E. Cheese keep up the good work BK would eat it.
Because BK will eat anything. I will mention this on a Hot or Not Friday. If BK were here, he'll be here at 10 o'clock. You see that out in California, they're building something called the Taco Bell Hotel and Resort.
Oh, you talked about that yesterday.
That's
yeah.
stupid.
Taco Bell. It is for Taco Bell enthusiasts. It's going to have, it's like a resort. It'll have pools and hotel. It'll have
fire-flavored toothpaste.
Yeah, all kinds of Taco Bell food.
But a lot of toilet paper. I mean, really?
Baja Blast.
Really?
Where are we at in society today when this is actually something that people think will make revenue. People will go stay at the Taco Bell Hotel and Resort. I love it. We'll be back, Hot or Not, on a Friday. We'll reset all your headlines, including the Longhorns. Maybe their season, hopes for their season coming to an end last night. Same sloppy Texas we've seen for the month of April, now into the month of May. Also, the PGA Championship is underway, round 2. Get you all the details. It's Beanie on a Friday.